Beautiful. Good morning, church. Would you join me in reading aloud this prayer for illumination? The words will be on the screen. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing with me as you are able for the reading of God's word from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again. It is such a joy on this day to open God's Word with you as we mark this season of East Point Church. We're calling this season our pre-launch, and we're calling these preview services an opportunity for friends and neighbors to come in and join us, get to know who we are as a church as we look forward to publicly launching to the community in January. You're joining us at the ground floor of a group of people who are imperfect people, who believe that hope in Jesus changes everything, and that East Durham needs more churches that point people to Jesus. That's the short story of East Point Church. One of our core values here at East Point, you'll hear us say often, is we tell stories of real hope. That word real is intentional. It's very intentional because let's face it, we live in a world that is sometimes hard to discern what's real and what's not. There's fake news, there's real news, there's artificial intelligence, there's ChatGPT. And let me just say on the ChatGPT that my wife, Mary's, love her dearly. Has taken the deep dive into ChatGPT. This is artificial intelligence, and there's something else you need to know about us. And please don't judge me by this. We have a hairless cat. His name is Harry, and we rescued him. It's a long story. I've never been a cat person, and Mary convinced me she always wanted a hairless cat. Well, Mary has always thought that Harry is very regal, that he is just a very proper cat. And so she decided to ask ChatGPT to help her make some pictures of Harry. And so she typed into ChatGPT, create a picture of Harry that is very regal. And this is what came out. This is regal Harry. And she said, that's not regal enough. Please make him more royal. And this is what came out. Clearly, this is not real. But back to the point. We live in a world where it's sometimes hard to tell what's real and what's not. When we say here at East Point that we tell stories of real hope, we are not just talking about real hope versus false hope, although that is true. We're talking about hope that is connected to the realities of everyday life. We're talking about hope that reaches into the messiness and brokenness of our world and actually makes a difference. And so many of you probably remember sitting in a philosophy class and they're talking about some idea or theory, and you thought to yourself, or maybe you muttered it out loud, what does this have to do with real life? Have you ever been there? What does this have to do with real life? And how many of you have ever sat through a sermon and asked that same question? That's a hypothetical question. This morning, we're starting a series in the Gospel of John that I've called Real Life Jesus. And it's a bit of a play on words. Because on the one hand, the book of John is a historical account. It points us to the reality that Jesus was a real person who lived, died, and rose from the dead. So the title fits, Real Life Jesus. But on the other hand, I think that the Gospel of John is uniquely written so that we would see that belief in Jesus is not some pie-in-the-sky ideology, disconnected from real life, but rather something that speaks into the messy and broken realities of our world, of our everyday lives, and redefines for us what real life truly looks like. That's what I mean by real life Jesus. We'll see this theme of real life woven throughout the chapters of John's gospel as we walk through it over the next 9 weeks. And toward the end of the book, John pulls back the curtain and shows us cards and tells us what the purpose of the whole book is. When he says, can you advance the slide to the next one? When he says, Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs that are written down in this book. These are written down so that you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. And so the Gospel of John is written so that we might understand and experience what real and true life really is. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to explore, okay, who is this Jesus, and how does his life redefine for us what real life truly is? And so all that is context for the book of John. Let's jump into John chapter 1 and read verses 1 through 4. We see these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, some of you, when we read this opening to the book of John, you're like, am I back in philosophy class? What is all this wordy language talking about? And I think, in some ways, what John is doing, John loves images. All throughout John's gospel, he is going to use images to connect ideas that are sometimes feel hard to grasp, like, who is God? I've got a 3-year-old now that asks me that question. Who is God? Why can't I see him? And so it's these ideas that I'm like, okay, how do I explain this? This is how John starts his gospel. He's like, I'm going to tell you the story of Jesus. Where do I begin? Okay, let's start with the beginning. Let's start with where did everything come from? That's what John's doing in these opening words of his gospel. He is pointing us to the reality that everything starts with God. He uses those words that we have in Genesis, in the beginning. It connects us to the moment that God speaks life out of nothing, when God says, "Let there be light." And out of nothing, life, light comes into existence. What John is doing in this opening to the Gospel of John is showing us that real life as it was made to be, always begins with Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning. He is fully God, and he spoke the world into existence. This is what we have in John's gospel, the reality that real life begins with Jesus. And we have those words in verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So as we see, as we peel back the curtain of John's gospel, as he shows us, okay, where do I begin in the story of Jesus? Understand this, that before anything existed, before light came into darkness, before man was formed, before life was breathed into existence, Jesus was. And so, if you're going to ask the question of where do I find real life, you have to start with Jesus. And that is the story of the Gospel of John, is that real life begins with Jesus. So if we jump ahead to the end of the passage that we read, we see that John, it wants to tell us that the Word became flesh. So the Word, he's using this picture of God's self-revelation. God speaks to the Word. This is Jesus. He became flesh. Now, in the ancient world, when John's readers would get this letter that he's writing about Jesus, and they read the Word became flesh, that is a messy word. You see, in that day, the idea of body, soul, and spirit were very distinct, and the idea of flesh was somewhat of a messy concept. Flesh. And so, what is John telling us that Jesus did? Jesus stepped into our messiness. He stepped into the brokenness of our world. You see, I think deep within each of us, deep within every person, is a longing for, where do I find real life? I mean, I'm not just talking about everyday life, and I'm not just talking about what it means to for my lungs to breathe in air and my heart to beat, but like, what does it mean to truly be alive, to actually live? What am I made for? And the message of the Gospel of John and the message of God for each of us this morning is that real life begins with Jesus, and Jesus steps into the disorienting messiness of our world, and he takes on flesh. He takes on flesh to show us, and get this, he stepped into our real life messiness so that we might experience real life anew. This is the message of John 1. Jesus stepped into our real life messiness so that we might experience real life anew. Let's face it, the world is broken. Just look at the news. Look at our community. There is this deep ache within all of us that this is not the way it was meant to be. And Jesus stepped into our brokenness. He stepped into our world. He took on flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. So Jesus took on flesh, just stepped into our real life messiness so that we might experience real life anew. Now look at verses 11 through 13. It says this: he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And this is what I think Jesus wants us to hear this morning. deep within each of us is this wrong longing for. Man, I just really want real life. I really want life as I was made for. And we have to see that real life in Jesus begins with a relational identity rather than a religious activity. Okay? Look at this in these verses. Real life begins with a relational identity rather than a religious activity. John tells us that the world did not receive Jesus. They didn't recognize that this is the source of real life. But, and there's this amazing but here in verse 13, but to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so I want us to see this morning that real life in Jesus begins with a relational identity. What does that mean? Real life is found in a person. So many of us have the propensity to try to find life in things that we do, in performance, in people of this, people, friendships, relationships, and there is only one person who can bring real life, and that is Jesus. And so real life begins with a relational identity. What did he say here in John chapter 1? That to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. A child. How does a child get his identity? How does a child get her identity as a daughter? Nothing that they do. It is born out of a relationship. And that is what Jesus invites us into. Jesus invites us to know him personally. He's not some abstract idea. He's not some proposition that we gather to learn things about on Sundays. And Jesus is a person who wants to know you intimately, who wants to walk with you in the messiness. He is the Word who took on flesh. He took on the messiness, real life messiness, so that we can experience real life anew. And so it begins with a relationship with a person. And it begins out of this place of relational identity, not religious activity. Many of us try to produce. We know deep within us we have this longing in our culture. There is a widespread spiritual awakening within our culture. People are longing. They're turning to all kinds of things to find meaning, to find real life. And that longing within each of us is a longing to be in relationship with Jesus. But in that search, many of us, if we have a background, maybe we grew up in the church, or we have religious concepts, our idea is, if I do more things for God, maybe I'll feel the life that I want from God. But John paints a completely different picture of the source of life. It is born out of a relational identity, not religious activity. You guys are probably going to judge me for this, but I have a battery problem with my car. Every Sunday morning, I'm rushing to get out the door. I go to start my car, and my battery's dead. Every Sunday morning. This has been happening for weeks. And I know you guys are going to judge me. Peter, you just need to fix the problem. But here's the thing. I have one of these things. You know what this is? It's like a battery-powered jump pack. All I have to do is just press the button. I'm not going to turn that on so I don't shock myself. All I have to do is just hook this up to the battery, turn it on, and it jump starts my car, and I get here. And I've been doing it for weeks. And many of us, that's what we do with our spiritual lives. Deep down within us, we have this longing. I'm longing for life. Maybe if I If I read my Bible more, I'll get a jump start. Maybe if I pray more. Maybe I need to be part of this church plant, East Point Church, and maybe that will help me feel more of what God designed me for. These are all good things. This is an amazing little tool. But the point that John's making for us in John 1 is that religious activity does not bring real life. It is a part of a life with Jesus, but real life comes from a relationship. And so really what I need is to fix the battery problem in my car, and what all of us need is to come back to Jesus anew and say, you know what, Jesus, I can't earn your favor. I can't produce the life that you've made me for. But I believe that to everyone who receives you, who believes in your name, you give the right to be a child of God. So I'm going to start my day from a place of identity. I am a child of God. And if you're here this morning and you're like, I'm longing for that. I'm longing for that kind of life that isn't come from the things that I do or the ways I perform or the security that I can procure in this world. This is the gospel of Jesus, that he became flesh and dwelt among us, that he lived a perfect life that we could not live, that all of us fall short of the life that God designed for us. And Jesus said, you know what? The wages of that is death, and I'm going to take that upon myself. You don't have to jumpstart your life. I'm going to give my life for you. And Jesus died. He was buried. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to let death have the final word. I'm going to raise from the dead so that everyone who receives Jesus, who believes in his name, I'll give the right to become a child of God, and they will experience life as it was meant to be. This is real life, Jesus. And this is what we are made for. There's a little section in this passage in John 1 that mentions there's a guy named John. And he came to bear witness to the light. He wasn't the light. He just came to point people to the light. A lot of you know this story, but a little over a year ago, I was sitting in my front stairwell. And I was praying for, God, what is the church that you're calling us to plant? And as I was sitting in the stairwell, there's this window that faces out the front of our house. And that morning, for the first time, it like sunk in as I saw the sunrise in that window. Oh, I guess our house faces to the east because I saw the sunrise. I said, what if we planted a church called East Point Church? That would point people to the light that has dawned in the darkness. That people might experience real life in Jesus. And here we are. We aren't the light. We're just here to point people to the light. To point people to the reality that there is life beyond what we can see in the broken messiness of this world. Jesus stepped into the messiness. He took on flesh so that we could experience life anew. This is who we are. Whether you've been following Jesus for years or that you want to say this morning, I want to follow Jesus, this is the invitation of the gospel anew. Every single week we will come back to this, that real life is found in Jesus and nothing. Each week, we will respond to God's word in three ways. We will sing together. We're going to do that in a moment. And during the singing, we'll have three songs. And it's an opportunity to just respond to Jesus. If Jesus is stirring in your heart this morning, this is a space for you. This gymnasium, this is a special place. It's a special place because God's Spirit is here with his people. There will be a couple prayer partners on the edge of the room wearing green lanyards as we sing. If you want somebody to pray for you this morning, you don't have to have a crisis. you just want to pray with somebody, they're there to pray with you. So we respond with singing, we respond with prayer. And the third is, we respond with the Lord's Supper. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he was sitting with his disciples. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." He's pointing us to what he had, the price he had to pay for us to have real life. He took the cup, he said, "This is my blood that was shed for you, poured out for the forgiveness of sins." Paul tells us, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we as East Point Church weekly come back to the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to remember this is where we find real life. And so how we're going to do this as East Point Church, and I know this is new for probably all of us, is this is a table for those who are followers of Jesus. If that's not you this morning, I invite you to just not partake of it. But if you are a follower of Jesus, or you want to decide this morning, you know what? This is what I was made for. The invitation of Jesus is for you, and this table is for you. And during the three songs, you can come at any time. It's an opportunity for you to come whenever you are ready, to come to this table, and you'll take a piece of bread and remember that this is the body of Christ broken for you, and dip it in the cup. This is the blood of Jesus shed for you. And as we respond as a church, let's proclaim the good news together to one another, with one another, and to Jesus, that real life is found in Jesus and no one else. Let's stand and worship together.
Father, it says, as we read, that your word became flesh and dwelt among us, and